With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom and Lotus. We're here to talk about the big news, the reason why everybody's buzzing about going back and playing Elder Scrolls Online again, and all the little details, and specifically the things that Lotus and I are most interested in. And if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know that Lotus and I play Elder Scrolls Online very differently. I'm more of a solo player. I'm in it for the stories. I like discovering things on my own. And Lotus likes to do a lot of the endgame content, the challenges, and those kinds of things. And so I'm feeling a lot of our audience kind of falls somewhere between both of us. And so we're going to break down all the stuff that is available right now. I logged in today. Lotus, I don't know if you've had time after work to log in, but man, there's so much to do now and so much that's coming. Did you get a chance?
Yeah. So I've been able to just kind of get on, but not do too much with it. Just kind of explore the tome thing and stuff, which just to throw out right at the gate, I was telling you, you know, there's always those little nitpicky details that people are like, oh man, it's just this one thing irritates me. Well, I just have the exact opposite of that. There is one thing cosmetic, but it feels so much like an Elder Scrolls thing, and it's something I've ranted about before. The tomes are literally like your quote-unquote season pass thing. Yeah. The UI to it is an ancient, like, crumpled pages of a book.
Like a scroll, like that's like with the scroll, funny edges, like
journal
worn
from
out.
Morrowind, yeah. Or the UI from Oblivion. It's absolutely amazing. More UI like that, because it makes you look like you're like shuffling through like a book type of thing.
I love that we have so many improvements right now, where there are so many things. They're revamping character classes. You can purchase mounts in-game with actual game gold now, which like that was always so limited to like three dumb looking horses. We're going to go over all of it. There's so many things, but the thing Lotus is most excited about is a crumpled up scroll UI.
Yes. That's the fact best. That the UI was like, oh my God, it looks like a scroll in a book that I'm reading. So excited.
That's great.
It's one of the stupidest changes that makes me unreasonably pleased.
That's awesome. Well, there's a bunch of stuff out as we're recording this right now. We record this on Thursday nights. It goes up live for everybody on Mondays. You get a little bit early if you're a patron subscriber. But so we've had a chance to log in a little bit. I only got to spend a little bit of time in the game before we're recording this right now. But I've poked around a little bit. But we're going to go over all the details. And there's a ton of stuff that is available now. And even more stuff that's going to roll out over the next few months. And there, basically, if you've enjoyed this game or you haven't even played it, but you're interested in getting in and, I don't know, just enjoy any different type of way of playing a big MMO with lots of different things, there's probably something for you. So let's break it down, Lotus. Let's get into it. So I'm going to go in order as the way they've listed it out on the website, because that kind of consolidates it all. And we're going to point out each thing, and then we're going to expand on the ones that we think are the coolest and probably spend more time on those.
There is a lot to this, so we are literally not going to cover every little thing, patch notes type of deal style.
Right,
but there's a lot coming, and a lot is very player-friendly, user-friendly, and a lot of people who are on the fence about this, because although there's a ton of people that play Elder Scrolls Online, to your point, a lot of people are like, eh, it's not
some
really...
People- Yeah, some people are more like me. They kind of pop in and out every so often. And when there's something new and fun to do, they might play for a little while and then they're on to other things. And other people, I know there are people who listen to the show who are big fans of Skyrim or Oblivion or Morrowind who just don't really play Elder Scrolls Online. And maybe there's something in here that'll pique their interest, you know?
Well, so, and to that point, it's like some people aren't really MMO people, myself included. I happen to just get hooked on this game specifically because of the world it takes place in. But it's like, normally this is not my type of thing.
Right, right. And I play it like it's a single player game most of the time. And, mm-hmm. And speaking of that, we have a guild. In fact, this might be a really fun opportunity to get a bunch of people back online who are already in the guild and new people. You can go to the Discord, check for the notes, mm-hmm. and there's a link to the Discord, and you can just
one
join us.
Platforms.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's get into it. We've done enough introduction. Here we go. The actual article on the website says, with the move to seasons, all new gameplay features, improvements, and additions are completely free for all ESO players with no additional purchases required. So this isn't like what they used to do, where you would buy a new expansion for the year, you'd get a new zone and a bunch of new stuff, but you had to buy it to get into it. This isn't like that at all. It goes on, it says, Season Zero's launch also includes the game's first Tamriel Tome and the Tome of Dawn and Dusk. Now, mm-hmm. this is Season Zero that just launched today. So if you're listening to this or you're with us in the live stream, it's available right now. Note that not all of Season Zero's features will be active at launch, as many highlights will arrive at different times during the season. Here's a full timeline of what is coming as part of Season Zero. All right, so let's break it down. As of today, now live, Dragon Knight class and two-handed skill line refresh. I've heard a lot of positivity from people who play the Dragon Knight mm-hmm. class and use those skills. Have you dug into this at all, Lotus?
That is my main character, actually, is the Dragon Knight. And I do like a lot of the changes. And one of the things that I haven't done extensive testing with, but I do know that if you do like doing end game stuff, you get a nice big damage boost as this class.
The most important detail is more damage.
Which makes me very happy. I just got to actually mess around with it so that I can do something with that. But no, supposedly it handles really better. The new animations look very cool.
It looks like I haven't played it. Rework. I haven't played it, but it looks like there's like more of an impact. Like you've got like the animations are better, but they feel more punchy. At least they look more punchy.
To them, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool. So Dragon Knight class, two-handed skill line. I play a Nightblade most of the time. I have multiple characters, but I haven't played my Dragon Knight in a very long time. So I'm not sure if I would even recognize all the details
what the
about
changes would be.
Specifically what's different. But I sure. like the idea that they're addressing. This is something you and I talked about years ago about mm-hmm. how this would be one of the big improvements. And they're working on it. And they're going to work through all the different skill lines, all the different classes, or at least all the yep. class skill lines, I guess, would probably be the most accurate way of saying it. But they're yeah. doing two-handed too, so they might be improving a lot of the other weapon skill lines, and we're just going to have to see how that plays
they're
out.
They're going to steadily get through everything. It's definitely going to be like a work in progress for quite a while, but at the same time, that's fine if they do it correctly, which it seems like that's what they're trying to do.
Right. So next on the list on the main website on this main article is Update 49 Player Experience Improvements. That's a very, very short one single sentence that actually means a ton of stuff. And let's break that down. So I've got the big, in fact, during the announcement, if you didn't catch the announcement, there were so many details that I couldn't keep them all in my head. There's just too many different things. So here, let's break it down. Like I mentioned at the beginning, mounts for gold. You can go to different stable masters across Tamriel and they all have different types of mounts. In fact, today I was in Vardenfell. I was in Vivec City, the little portal, and I went up to the mount guy over there. And sure enough, you can get one of those weird bug mounts at the mm-hmm. guy. You can, I think it was like 25,000 gold or something like that. Or no, the regular ones were 25,000. That one was 100. Maybe.
Yes, I think it's like 100 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are at the different locations. You don't just go to one place. You actually have to go to basically the homeland, quote unquote, of the mounts.
Yeah, but it makes sense. It makes sense that they would be selling mounts designed around who what people would be using in that area. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, that is that's a great improvement because a lot of this stuff people would complain. It's like, oh, it's only in the store. And I totally get that. A lot of this has been filtered in so that you can buy more than just one of three generic horses for
right.
for you know, gold, in-game currency.
In-game
you
gold. Can earn. Yeah.
In-game gold, which is great. I know that's making a lot of people happy. And it just gives you more variety of things you can ride around.
And more in-game things to collect with your money, with your in-game money.
Correct. It's a great thing called a gold sink, which if you don't play MMOs, it's just basically to try to filter down inflation a bit because some of us have too much money.
Yes, yes. All right, so next on the list, respect skills and attributes in UI. Reduce friction and allow players to experiment on builds for free. So you don't have to spend all that extra money or resources or whatever in
all
order to respect.
All the money you don't spend there, you can now buy mounts with.
Yeah, right, right. So, and that's fun because I every so often I get on a kick and I'm like, oh, I'm going to tweak a bunch of my stuff. But it used to take an investment. But now you can just play with different builds, and that's great.
Yes, this just seems like it encourages experimentation, which I think is good.
Yes, it doesn't lock you in, and you don't feel like you have to commit to something just because you've already been using it.
Right, and with their whole play your way type of mentality that they've been going harder and harder into with subclassing and stuff like that, this really kind of goes along with that because it's like, okay, well, we're not going to punish you for trying to experiment now, which is great. Perfect. Yep. Love that.
And now they've got something for people who really love the homes and the furnishing and that kind of stuff. Increased furnishing limits, new tiers, increased limits on all non-notables. ESO Plus users get extra. It's something like 50 extra furnisher slots and ESO Plus users get like 100.
Yes, it's they've managed to diversify. It's not all of the houses, but a lot of the houses have like, expanded room because people like to, you know, decorate their house. But it's like, you know, when you get really elaborate and you're building structures, it can get kind of tricky to keep it within the boundaries. Even as is, I have mounted all of the trial and dungeon bosses' heads on the guild wall when you go into the PlayStation Guild Hall. And we actually have more heads to mount on the wall from all the dungeons and trials that we've completed than are, like, we ran out of space on the wall. It literally cannot process more. So now I can hopefully jam more things on the wall.
More heads, wall of heads.
Yeah, more heads.
Yeah, yeah. So then also vampire werewolf cures removed from the crown store, added quest starter for vampire werewolf. Cures will be 0 crowns, increased number of in-world NPCs and shrines. This is something people used to complain about. They were like, why don't they just make this free? Or
So this is the thing, which I will say is very much listening to feedback. I actually didn't have a huge problem with this. This was available in game for free.
But you had to go find it. You had to go do it. You had to.
You did. It's a quest line and stuff like that. And that's fine. But I was kind of indifferent to it, but I understood the people's problem was this was in the crown store. And it basically, unless you knew about that, it made it seem like you had to pay for it. So it was very uninviting and felt predatory toward new players, which was the big complaint, which I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, well, if people did a little research, they'd know that it was in there. But removing that kind of was like, it struck me more as a good faith thing because it had been asked for.
Well, so it's a huge bummer. It's a huge bummer if you're a new player and you're like, oh, I don't want to be a vampire. I tried it. I don't like it. And then you see it for sale and you're like, well, I guess this is the only way to cure myself.
I guess this is how I cure it.
And it's and then later on you find out it's not. And then you're like, oh, it's like, cool. I spent my money
$15 because of that, because it was comically expensive too.
Right.
I was like, what the heck is this?
Right.
It just seems just all around better that was taken out.
Yep. Yep. Next up, upgrade bag in UI, reduce friction and better inform player. Do you know what this one means? I'm not.
Yes. The bag space. Sure. You have a maximum bag space. They don't do weight in Elder Scrolls Online. They do slots. It's more of a, like a Diablo style collection thing.
You can upgrade the bag. Okay. Yes. Yes.
You can upgrade it.
Yes.
In your inventory.
I did see this
going
today.
Going to town to find the bag merchant who will stitch you a bigger bag. You can just buy it in the inventory now instead of having to find these merchants in towns.
The prices are lower now, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, because I just saw it in my thing when I logged in and I was like, oh yeah, I can afford that easy. It was just like, I just maxed it out. I was like, why not?
That's what that relates to.
Nice, nice. Increased transmute crystal limit. We don't need to talk too much about that one, but if you like using transmute crystals, which some people I'm sure do, then I always just butt up against the limit because I don't use them. So it's
correct.
Like,
it's you just like get way so bigger. Many. I will. I, you know what? I've given this PSA on Tales of Tamriel as well as here, I'm sure, before. But something that I suggest to anybody, if I mean, the limit's now bigger, so you can do it more frequently or with a bigger amount. But if you are ever at the cap or close to the cap, and you have the ability to research or have it research the Nurnhone trait, what you do is take some trash, transmute it using your stones into a Nurnhone trait, and then break down the Nurnhone trait. It has a 50% chance, I believe, to give you that trait stone. Mm-hmm. That trait stone is massively valuable because it very rarely drops in world. So it's a good way of getting those available for you.
Okay.
It's if you then go and sell them, I think the last time I did it, I made like 187,000 gold. Just
nice. That's how rare they are.
I wasn't even at a trader. I just was offering it in zone and people would buy it. So it's something I always suggest. If you don't have anything to do with the transmute stones, do that. It'll make you a whole bunch of money in game.
Yeah, cool. All right. Man, we're gonna keep this going because we got so many things to get over. So some of these we don't need to talk about too much, like Mimic Stones and Outfit Tokens no longer sold individually for crowns. That's nice.
Yep, it's fine.
Same kind of like better for the player kind of thing.
They cleaned up the store with a lot less.
Yes.
I don't want to say junk, but junk.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because I like to go through the store and see what there is. And there was definitely more of the things I was interested in, less of the things I was like, I'm never going to buy this.
Correct.
Bag and bank cost reduction, kind of like expanding your own player things. That is way less. I popped in the bank, checked that out today.
Yeah.
Guild trader listings, restore 30-day listing window.
So, yeah, they went to 2 weeks and that did not go over well. They're back to a month.
Cool. Hide X, now able to hide chest, waist, legs, hands, and feet. So you can control more about how your character looks and what things show up on you. That's great.
That's awesome.
Zone guide improvements, choose what to track versus just what's in order. So the zone guide is something added a few years back, and I've used it to clear out through some of the things in some of the zones I didn't finish.
It's actually pretty helpful.
Yeah, but like it felt kind of random. Like if you'd finished like, I don't know, 60%, 70% of the zone, and you're just like, okay, what's the next thing? Sometimes it'd be like, okay, now go all the way to the other side of the zone and do this thing. And it's like, well, what about the ones nearby? Can I just do those? Yeah, so that helps. Longer antiquities lead times, increased duration for higher difficulties, ESO plus timers doubled. So
I'm not going to go into why that's one of the best changes they've done, but that is a very anti-predatory change, which we've talked about on Tales many times. That is just very player friendly on a system that I felt was trying to strong arm people into buying a specific DLC.
Yeah.
So that is a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. The times that I've played with antiquities, oftentimes I'll be just doing other things and want to pop up and I'm like, okay. Well, now I have to make this a focus because I don't want it to the timer to run out.
Correct. And really that was kind of like a nudge toward, well, by the DLC that relates to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before it runs out. So I love that change. That's fantastic for the player.
Yep. Quicker crafting research. I noticed this today too, because I had a bunch of stuff in my inventory. So I went, that's why I was in Vivek City. And I like to use those crafters over there because I like the little loop that you can do through them all. And I was like, I found two different things that I'd never researched before. I was like, yeah, let's do them. And I was like, oh, wow, that's faster than it used to be. So
that's nice. That's another, if you're a budding crafter, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I've got most of them, but there's a few that just never have dropped. And I'm just like, why can't I find this?
Why can't I find this one thing that I specifically want?
Yeah, it's just a very, very short list. And I had two of them off my list all of a sudden for having played many, many different times over the, I'll jump in for like a few weeks and then I jump out and jump in for a few weeks. But like most of the time it's like, why aren't the ones dropping that I need? But they dropped. So that's nice. Treasure maps reworked to improve user experience. I don't know the details specifically about this one. I haven't checked this one out. Are you up on this?
Why did I lose track of that one when you read it?
It's the bottom middle one in the big list I'm looking at. So treasure maps reworked to improve user experience. So,
that's why I was going to say, it's essentially stackable. They stack as far as I know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that.
There were a few things that were talked about with treasure map, but as far as I know, they're stackable. I have not tried it yet. So
Yeah. I remember you, if you had multiple of the same map, you'd have to go to that location and it would count for one of them.
Correct.
Then you'd have to leave and come back for it to like respawn for you so you could collect
another
one.
So that was even
there.
Surveys. You could only have one of the maps in your bank, one on your person, and then if you had one in a box, you could have one. But otherwise, it would literally
so
say you can't have more than one of this item. And it's just like... Okay, sure. So now you can have a bunch of them, is my understanding.
Right. That's nice. That's nice. Faster mount training. This is something I felt like they needed to do for years because, man, you start a new character and the mounts are not trained up and it's like,
oh my God, it takes forever. Three mount trainings at a time. So it's literally thrice as fast.
Three times faster mount training. That's really nice.
That's a huge improvement.
Yeah. If you play for just, you know, regularly for a fairly short period of time and just make sure to go to the mount trainer every day.
The first time that you're playing, it doesn't really bother me because it's kind of like the experience of going through with your character. But like, dude, by the time you're on like an alt or your 20th alt, it's like, okay, like, I'm over training my mount.
It just gets old. Yeah. And the base level mounts without the upgrades for speed are super slow.
You can
slow.
Literally run as fast as.
Yes. Yeah. It's rough. So that's a nice improvement.
No, it's a very new player friendly for sure. Or alt player friendly.
Yeah. Also alt player friendly, account wide outfit slots, account wide.
That is a huge, man, so many of these are just such great quality of life thing. That is such a money saver for people who are buying all these outfits. It's just great. It's literally no negatives to that. That's awesome.
Yes. Appearance tied to character is the other little detail there.
Yep.
Guild name repping. Players can show their guild name without wearing a tabard. That's super nice because...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because if you make a really cool costume that you're proud of and then you have to put the tabard over it, nobody sees your costume. If
right.
you're repping your guild, it's a little weird. So
Itch.
Now you can just... If you want the tabards do kind of look cool, but if you have cool armor and you want to show that off and you don't want the tabard, but you want to rep your guild, that's a nice change.
Yeah. Here's the thing is games like ESO make the majority of their money off of cosmetics.
Yes.
And if you're spending all of that time playing the game or signing up for ESO Plus and getting the loot boxes and getting the cosmetics that you wanted or whatever, and then to just cover them all up because you're doing a guild thing, like...
It's a weird choice.
It is a weird choice. So that is really nice. And then the last thing on this list, and again, all of these are live now, back bar experience, both bars earn experience equally. So if you're not familiar with ESO, you've got your front bar and you've got your back bar, and you can put different mm-hmm. abilities on the front bar, different abilities on the back bar. But if you primarily are not in a dungeon or a raid where you're really min-maxing, you're just killing some overland stuff and just hitting a few buttons and they die pretty quick, then you may never even switch to the pack bar. Then it doesn't get experience.
Yes. And there was a big thing that they had this discussion on Red Diamond about this, was the fact that it's just like when you're finishing your random dungeon, which gives you like a huge bonus experience at the end of completion of the dungeon, if you don't plan and flip your bar to your back bar for that huge experience dump, it all goes to your front bar experience.
Yeah.
And yeah. Bob, I think it was like, dude, I never remember that. I remember after I get the experience dump and then switch. And he's like, and it's too late. So now it takes that whoops out of the equation.
That's nice too. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the big list of update 49 improvements, but there's more. There's still other things that are currently available. The Gold Coast Bazaar in-game reward store. How do you feel about this one, Lotus?
This again, it's more stuff for people to earn in game as opposed to spend money on. And it's also, it seems a little awkward to start with because of the trade bar system and all this stuff, but, it seems like just a straight better system than the ticket system, which had a cap of 12. So you need to make sure to be consistently spending them. And if there's nothing you wanted to spend them on in this event, blah, blah, blah. It basically makes all these events and doing your tomes provide you this in-game trade bar currency that you can just use to buy stuff that normally would cost you real world money. And
right.
now you don't have to. Like, you can just get it from playing the game and doing stuff. And again, just super user friendly. And a lot of people like crown crates and stuff like that. Those are going to be like purchasable in this whole area with these things. It's like, this is basically earnable real world currency in game that you would normally have to pay for. So it's just great because then it's an option whether you buy it or not.
Yeah. Anytime they reward you for just doing the things in the game that you would naturally want to do, It just feels good. You know, like that Correct. Feels that feels better. Because in the real world, you've got like for a lot of us, you have like your job and that's the thing you have to do. And then you have like your hobbies. And those are the things you want to do on your own. And it's really nice right. when you can turn your hobbies into something that also, like, I'm a full-time podcaster. I've been doing this for years. That's real nice when the thing I would normally just want to do for fun also helps pay the bills.
I was going to say, this is the best thing about my hobby is it became something that I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. Now it's just a hobby. And also I can justify spending time on it when I'm short on time. Because it's like,
Right, right.
It's more yeah. than just a hobby.
Yeah. So. And when I log in today, it's like, well, I probably would have played the game anyway, but now I have right. even more reason to do so because I'm going to talk about mm-hmm. it on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. So the last thing that is now live is the Tamriel Tomes, which you talked about with the better UI update earlier.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so this is
just open
their
the book for the sake of it.
just open it up. Yeah, it looks very different than a lot of the other UI on the screen. It yes. absolutely stands out. Now this is basically a battle pass kind of system.
Season pass. Like that. It's the easiest like way that. To reference another game system.
Right. Right. And there are a whole bunch of free things you can get, and you can tab to the right and you can see all the other things as you collect more and more money or whatever the currency is for it. I forget what it's called. And then you can upgrade
it. Tome points.
That's easy enough. It's always sure. weird to me when people use different names for currencies.
Sometimes when it's too easy, you don't think of it.
Right. Right. It's like, is this gold? Is it money? Is it like, what is it called? Yeah. So tome points. And so you can choose which things you unlock as you go through the system. And there's even fancier stuff if you decide to subscribe and pay a little bit extra mm-hmm. in order to get like the bigger tiers. So it seems like the kind of thing that makes sense. Like if you're the kind of person who's just going to keep playing and knocking out all these different goals, why not get all the good stuff? I mean, if you're really going to be doing it. If you're not
the cap on them, you can just play, earn these things because you don't have to pay to earn them. Save them for one of the seasons that does have stuff you want, because again, they removed the cap. So you don't have this artificial ceiling that blocks you, and you can hoard them if you want. And then when it's like, oh my God, these are really cool, I love these, then you can spend all your hoarded tome points. That stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not the biggest fan of battle passes, but I get the appeal. Like it's very Same. Rare that I will make a point. Like I usually will play it a little bit while I play and I'm just like, oh, these are goals that are things that I would do anyway. So I might as well do them. And then I'll collect a certain amount of the currency and then I'll just choose the things that I can afford and I unlock. And I'm glad it's there. But for me, it's not the most appealing thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, this goes back to the whole work thing, right? As soon as it feels like I have to make it a priority and work for it, it starts to feel more like a job and less like a game.
I just rarely ever focus on mm-hmm. doing those things. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, it happens. And then I'll look at it occasionally opposed to it being a focus. But a lot of people, it gives them their daily objective
right.
and stuff like that, which I get.
Right. I do appreciate sometimes... and this is one of the things, and I think there are other people who feel this as well, is that often when you're given too many options, when you have like no set path, when you can do anything you want, it's just overwhelming. And in MMOs, and like, these are huge worlds with all sorts of different things you can do. And sometimes you log in and you look around and you're like, I don't even know what I want to do. So having something that says, hey, go find a treasure map. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll go do that.
Well, I guess I could. Yeah, I could go find a treasure map.
Yeah, go do a dungeon. Okay, yeah, I could. Yeah, dungeons are fun. I'll go do a dungeon. You know, and then it's like, okay, thank you for the suggestion. Now I have a focus, right. You know?
Yes, so, exactly.
I do appreciate that.
So I totally get that as well. Like, it doesn't need to be for me specifically for me to understand why I like it.
Right, yes. And that's the thing here is that there are so many different things that are being changed and upgraded, like I said earlier, that even if just a few of them resonate with you, hey, that's great. Because MMOs are built for people who play lots of different ways.
Yes.
Like we all don't do everything in the MMO. I'm sure somebody does everything in an MMO. But most of the players
sheepishly looks down
have a list of things that they prefer to do. And those are the things they focus on the most. So, all right. So let's talk about upcoming features to Season Zero. These are things that are not available right now, but will be part of Season Zero. So are coming very soon, like the Night Market Event Zone, which comes out in at the end of the month, April 29th through June 17th. That's the duration of the season from that point forward. And the Night Market is like a whole new thing. It's a big PvP battle thing. Like, I'm sure you can describe it better than I can.
No, I mean, it is. It's like a PvE thing where it's got like all sorts of like, it's pretty new to the game. I don't know. It's almost like the old like idea. This is going way back. So without getting too far down the rabbit hole here, but like they used to have a thing that they were advertising as Adventure Zones, which was like Craglorn type of thing.
Right.
But Craglorn's changed so much from how it was originally implemented. Many people might not even realize how different it is now, but it's higher level difficulty, but designed around doing it with friends. Not that you can't do it yourself, but it's just, it's better with friends. So that it's like, oh, there's not like, it's not a traditional queue up for a dungeon, but it's like a 4-player thing. And then here's like a 12-player thing. And there's like a boss at the end and all this stuff. And it's just like, it's a reason to play the MMO with other people, which sounds really cool. And some of the instances, I believe, get up to 36 players. They can get pretty big.
Yeah. So I said PvP, I meant PvE.
I knew you did.
So it seems like the kind of thing, like you can go in with a pre-made group, but you can also just kind of go in and like lump yourself up with the other people who are running around doing stuff.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, you can just group up. A lot of times in Zone, it was a big thing that happened with Necrom for the world event things, where you would go into these like liquid fissures. You could, a lot of times people would get the quest and they would just ask if they didn't have anybody on. They're like, hey, need one. We used to do it a lot of times if there were just three of us, like while we were waiting, a lot of times we were like, yeah, does anybody need to join? And we were just pulling a random fourth until our fourth would join us. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way. Sometimes you end up grouping up with people that you get along with and then you have a lot of fun and blimo, you've got yourself that group that everybody always says when you find a group, it ends up being fun. This is a lot of times how they organically form.
Yeah. And blammo, you got it right there.
Blammo.
So the next one on the list and the next series of these we're going to mention all come out on June 8th. So still some time, but this is one you and I have discussed many times over the years. Challenge difficulty system.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. This is basically, I mean, it's kind of a mini version of what you would play in something like Diablo, right? Where you're like, I'm at the normal level. I'm tearing through stuff now. I've got my upgrades. I've got good gear. Now everything feels too easy. Let's raise the difficulty.
Let's nudge it up a bit.
And also raise the rewards and the experience. Right. And so now the world is more on par with me, but I get to choose it. It doesn't just keep getting harder as I get stronger. Yeah, I get to choose. Okay, I want to go to challenge difficulty. I know it's going to be harder, but it's going to take me a little bit longer to get through a delve, to kill these monsters, kill the boss of the delve, whatever. But I'm going to get better stuff now, and it's worth my time. That's brilliant.
Yes, and that's great. And the big thing is for a lot of people, it's good because it's controllable, because that's a big thing for a lot of people. They're like, well, I don't want to just get smashed like I'm playing a Souls-like game or something like that. And I get that. That's totally fine. So it's like, well, if you can control it, then there you go. You set the difficulty to stock, or are you changing it up? Do you want it to be different? And it's great. Love the addition for those looking for it.
Yes, I'm excited about that, especially as somebody, and there are some other things that are really good for people who play solo a lot. So, but here, next one on the list, update 50 player experience improvements. The next wave of player experience improvements arrives on June 8th, just like the one we just mentioned. Its base game additions include a guild mail system, special golden pursuits campaigns for new and returning players under level 20, the proliferation of transmute stations to a host of major crafting hubs, and more. So, even more experience improvements for the things people have been asking for.
Yeah.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleav. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleav.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleav.com might be a good place to start.
So
again, not really a lot to say. It's just there's not really any downside to it. It's just like, yep, they're tweaking it again to make it more in line with what people are doing and what people are already looking for.
Right, right. And then next on the list, same thing, June 8th, the veterancy system is being improved. So we have veterancy is a new progression system for ESO's various PvP modes, Battlegrounds, Alliance War, Imperial City, that allows you to earn levels that in turn grant various rewards, including Vengeance campaign perks and account-wide cosmetics and titles. Reach max veterancy rank during the first PvP season, which lasts approximately 6 months, and you'll have unlocked a new armor style, weapon style, and two skill lines. Cosmetics are fun, but two new skill lines?
Very interesting.
Yes. Yes.
I'm really curious to see how this all plays out and feels.
Right. So this is one of those things, like a lot of these, the way that modern MMOs do their PvP rewards, I feel like was influenced a lot by World of Warcraft back in the day. Mm-hmm. The idea that you would get like PvP gear and PvP cosmetics or whatever for doing the PvP stuff. So if you were super into PvP, you could look like, you know, this badass PvP player with your PvP gear. But if you didn't really do it very much, you're never going to earn all that stuff, right? This feels like they're improving that. They're actually giving you even more reason to jump into these. And because there are so many different ways to do PvP, if you're not a Alliance War guy, if you're not going to Cyrodiil because it just feels massive and too much of a time sink, then you can do Battlegrounds. You can do the Imperial City. And you can still unlock a lot of this stuff, including skill styles, which is super cool because that feels like the kind of thing, like, I know myself, 6 months from now I'm gonna get some new fit, I'm gonna have a new outfit, and it's gonna change.
And when you can match it with your skill style, so it's like, oh well, now I've got blue flame to go with this instead of red or orange,
right?
It's
like, but oh, I also feel like the skill styles stick around longer because I'm more likely to keep those abilities and then pick the skill style I like, and I'm on the other side, I'm more likely to go, ah, that new helmet looks cool, I'm going to wear that instead. Whereas you just wear the same gear all the time.
It's true. We actually just had a debate on the creator team Discord about people either pro glass armor or they hate my glass armor. It's very divisive. Little did I know when I made this.
Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Also, we have class mastery abilities, a new way for Tamriel's warriors to stay true to their class. Class mastery introduces a host of passive abilities that you can choose from for your pure, no subclasses, all one class character. Each class will receive 5 new abilities, but only 2 may be active at any one time. You choose your mastery. These 2 options arrive on June 8th also. So this is like, okay, you're going to go... I would go Nightblade for a long time. Even after they updated and you could start multiclassing, I tinkered with that stuff a little bit, but there's this part of me in the back of my brain that's just like, yeah, but those other abilities are stronger, so I'm going to go with them, but it would really be nice to just be a Nightblade again. And yes, this gives you a reason to do that sort of thing.
I think that's very much a common thing for a lot of people with this whole class identity thing. And this kind of gives them an inspiration to, hey, if you want to double down on having a class identity, then you can get this and it benefits you. Or you can be a jack of all and in Elder Scrolls, master of all as well, because that's what I like to do. I'm just a hodgepodge mess where I just claim my class is just the zoo owner because I just have pets falling out of my years. Like, it's just pets everywhere. It's pets, and I'm a Dragon Knight. So I should have 0 pets, and instead I have all the pets. It's a different play style, but I love the fact that they're trying to incentivize people. Like, if you want to stick with just your class, there's a reason to, because at the moment, it's really just straight up better to, like you said, it's like, well, these skills are better, so why wouldn't I take them? Right. This is kind of neutralizing it a bit. So it's like, well, no, now it's becoming more of a choice rather than I have to do this to be competitive.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we speculated about when they added the whole multi-classing kind of thing was that, and it is what happened initially, is that people were like, oh, well, these 2 builds are now the meta builds, and these are because they're just the most powerful abilities, so everyone should use them. And that kind of goes against the whole feeling of like, well, my character needs to feel unique in this world. And it just, so I like this.
Right.
It reinforces that. So that's great.
Yes. 100%.
All right. One more. Actually, I think there's probably a few others here that we can go deeper into if you want to. But there's also the Werewolf skill line refresh. The combat refresh team continues their work via a series of tweaks, fixes, and improvements to the Werewolf skill line's abilities, animations, VFX, and sound. These additions include a unique werewolf model if your character is female. So now you get a lady wolf. Look for these changes, lady wolf, to take place on update 50 on June 8th as well. That's nice that they're not just updating things like the Dragon Knight. They're updating werewolves and eventually vampires. How do you feel about that one?
That's fine with me. I mean, I've been a werewolf for a very long time, but I almost never use it anymore. So... I use it for very specific things.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. That was the meta for a while, especially for PvP, was having
it
werewolf.
Was, and that was also one of my original, I don't know, gimmicks of how the hell do you beat veteran Maelstrom Arena back in the day when that was like the hardest challenge in the game. And I was like, well, I've got to figure out how to do it on a tank. And people were like, that's not a thing. So my solution was be a werewolf.
Nice.
Because it helps out. But yeah, no, for a while, it was really, really a go-to.
Crown in chat says they're called a whiff-wolf.
Exactly.
And then they're doing other things as well. In-game events and Golden Pursuits campaigns. In addition to all the above, you can enjoy a host of in-game events and support Golden Pursuits campaigns through Season 0, including the now live Anniversary Jubilee event. You get another one of those cakes. So that's fun. Mm-hmm.
Bought my cake, actually.
Nice. And the upcoming Welcome to the Night Market Golden Pursuit campaign. Look out for details on future events and campaigns in the not-so-distant future. So there is a ton, like I said at the beginning, there's a lot. If you're somebody who plays this game and none of these things matter, I would be really curious to find out.
Just seems surprising that none of these would sound like something fun to do. Unless you just, like, the only thing I could imagine is just like the combat is so unappealing, you don't want to do anything related to that would be the only thing I could gather as being like, it's not worth even messing with.
Right.
But again, so many of these things are not necessarily combat related, even to progress like the story and stuff. It's like, the combat you can make really minimal. Like if that's not really your thing, you can just explore type of deal.
Sure. And I think we're far enough. Like one of the big complaints years ago when the game came out was it doesn't feel like Skyrim combat. And it doesn't. It's an MMO. It feels different. And that seems like that was a big surprise to people. And so therefore, it was kind of like, I was hoping it would be something else. But I feel like we're so far past that now, especially with the improvements to like the Dragon Knight and the fact that they're improving the werewolves and they're actively working on the combat system.
And actually, just like great timing on the question getting asked in chat from Cass here. Again, with the new thing, it's like, okay, does it feel... does it still feel floaty? Because that is actually a totally legit complaint that people had at the launch of the game and has lasted for quite a while. There's a floatiness to the combat a little bit. I would attribute it to almost feeling floaty in the way that if you've played the Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind, like your weapon doesn't really feel super connecting with your enemy. The Dragon Knight, that's one of the things that they're addressing, and I assume it's going to have the similar effect as they tackle each of the classes, but it has more weight to the moves. So I would say that aspect, at least if you're going to dive back in, try the Dragon Knight. See if that kind of removes some of that problem, if that was a holdup you had. Because if it does, and they're reworking all the classes, they're probably all going to feel better in the end. But I would say that, at least from the little I messed with the Dragon Knight just on PTS testing type of thing, that might feel different enough to be appealing if the combat was a turnoff to you in the Elder Scrolls Online.
Right, right. And the other piece of what it occurs to me makes people think that it feels floaty, and I totally agree with this, is that oftentimes you can do moves while also, like you can do attacks while also still moving physically around.
Correct.
It doesn't plant your feet.
Yes, you can still do that for most moves. Not everything, but a lot of them. And it's just, there's more feedback to your hits, I feel, with some of the new stuff they've done. Whereas before it was just kind of like, jab, you kind of felt like you were just poking. And if there was something in front of you, it was poked rather than right. you were poking the thing, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And also, I would also argue that, like, I don't know that you would fully want every single combat ability to plant your feet and make you swing, because that would feel like you're stuck in the mud all the time. So there's got to be this balance.
It would become very, very, very slow.
Right. There's got to be that balance between the right amount of movement, the right amount mm-hmm. of impact on a weapon swing, and those kinds of things. So, and they're working on it. So that's, I mean, maybe they haven't hit your class yet. It's going to take a while, but eventually.
Exactly. Just it might be worth testing some of the newer stuff if that was a complaint you have, because again, totally understand that. That is not a like niche complaint. I feel like that was actually like a big thing that they've been working on.
Yes, yes. And I, with my Nightblade, primarily use bow skills. I use a lot of bow skills and a little bit of magic, and I use the finishing move where you stab a guy. But even that feels okay to me at this point. Like mm-hmm. there's something about that where it, like, maybe it's the sound effect of the ka-chink when you
sure,
like
the squish,
the ka-chink when you get in there and you know mm-hmm. do your like finishing stab thing. I don't know. Something about that works, and it was something that I had to figure out by trying different abilities and kind of fitting them together. So
sure.
So there you go. Any other things on this list? Anything else that we haven't covered or that I missed?
I mean, I feel like we almost dove into the big bullet points, because again, we're not trying to belabor everybody, and I don't really want to make this sound like we're just turning it into a commercial. Yes, we're friends with, you know, the devs and stuff like that, and they do us a lot of favors and stuff like that by letting us see some of this stuff early. But at the same time, like, I'm not a ZOS employee, so I'm not really here to sell you the game, just kind of that I find it fun and hear some of the exciting new stuff. And I feel like I think we covered a lot of the stuff, at least that's definitively on the horizon, because there's like some more of these one-off events that are potentially there, and there's
mm-hmm. well they did hint at something else that they're working on, and this
right.
this fills the gap. And when I asked the question, is there anything else that this doesn't cover, I think the one other thing would be, well, a new location with new NPCs and new quests, and they've hinted that we're going back to Skyrim in a new place that we haven't been before.
Right.
And that sounds like that middle portion of the map between the two Skyrim zones that isn't filled in might get filled in, or Solstheim, something like that, maybe.
It does sound that way. You know, but again, this is where we start getting past what we've got clearly defined, but more like, ooh, what's coming still type of deal. So
yeah, so that seems interesting. And so they're not doing the typical, hey, here's a whole new zone, this is the whole focus of right. the year, but it doesn't mean that they're not also still continuing to flesh out the map or locations. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, they're revising the Daggerfall region now that they've done a bunch of the little zones and kind of updated them to look better.
Yes.
So they're going back over those old zones. Yeah.
I mean, I know this was brought up, and this is just kind of part of it now, is just so people know, a lot of people have like base game. Hey, T.
Thanks for the raid.
It's so base game zones and stuff like that have been kind of getting like a rework as they go through them to kind of like bring them up to the new standard of visual fidelity, mm-hmm. because you can tell the difference from the original base game zones that were designed 12 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And years before 12 years ago, before launch, that they spent working on
launch.
Those. Yeah.
And then now type of deal. So they've been refreshing those, so to speak, so that they kind of have a similar visual fidelity. And I think that's great that they're doing that. But as another effect, if you're jumping into Elder Scrolls Online, for the first time, or played originally and are coming back, they have added a lot more to what's considered base game. So if you just buy the game,
right,
you right. now end up getting the Thieves Guild, the Dark Brotherhood, Morrowind's now included, so Vardenfell.
Orsinium is the...
Orsinium and on there, yeah. the Imperial City.
Imperial City, yeah.
Those all used to be DLCs. They are now just part of the base game.
Which is super great for people who really liked the Dark Brotherhood and, say, Skyrim. And yes. maybe that was a reason why you didn't try out ESO, is because you're like, I can't do Dark Brotherhood stuff.
Right.
I can.
And that is a wild amount of stuff to do, even if you're just like, I'm just here for the quests. That is horrifying how long it would take you to go through all of those quests.
dozens of hours of more content to do if you never purchased those and got into them. And they're 100%. All free. And they're doing more Thieves Guild and more Dark Brotherhood stuff in the future. This is another thing they've talked about.
Yes, they are expanding on that and having a continuation of that. So those guilds are actually getting more stuff coming on the horizon. So they included the previous version so you can play through them to catch up before we get the new ones, which the new ones are included for free because new content is now free going forward. So
right, and you don't have to play through the original ones to do the new stuff when that comes out. You can kind of do it in whatever order you want, which is great. And on top of it, there's other like just open world stuff they're adding in, like these little these quests that don't actually drop little arrows where you're supposed to go. You have to figure them. You find a thing and then it's like, oh, let's figure it out. Seems like I have to go over this part of the map, figure out what's going on over here. And that's exciting as well, because that plays. And this is another thing we've talked about for years. It's really nice. I love the convenience of just the arrow. That's just like, okay, go where you want to go when I want to just kind of turn my brain off and just like kill things and talk to people and just, you know, turn quests in. But sometimes I want a little bit more of a challenge. It's nice to have a puzzle that isn't just like push the buttons in a certain order. It's figure out what's going on.
What's on the bottom of this claw?
Right. Yeah. Figure out what's going on. Figure out who to talk to and then follow the trail and it legitimately feels like you're actually discovering something rather than just following a bunch of prompts. Yep. That's great too. That's and like I'm excited about this. You said this earlier, not because this is like an advertisement, because it's not. This is legitimately things that you and I have discussed for years that are now being implemented in the game. And I, you know, like I said, it was up today. Last night I went to bed and I was like, oh, I can't play it. I gotta wait till I get up tomorrow to play the game. And sure enough, updated the game, loaded back in, checked out a bunch of stuff. So yeah, exciting stuff. So
it's, it's a lot of good, very player friendly stuff to do. And that's my big thing, which I know, like you had joked, is how games, live service games, MMOs, whatever, make their money. A lot of it relates to getting people to engage with cosmetics and stuff like that. And that's great. And I love that for people who enjoy that, but that's super not my thing.
Glass armor guy here.
Yes,
like, nah, it doesn't matter.
12 years later, still in my original armor. My thing is I like stuff to do, and this is a lot of stuff to do. So it's just like, a lot of times the trick is get people to hang out in the world and play it, and then they'll spend money on stuff. But if they don't have anything to do, they can only buy things so much, because then otherwise they're not playing the game. This being so much stuff to do is like the best of both worlds, because it's keeping people around and then they might actually engage with all that, you know, purchasable stuff from a business aspect. And then you've got people like me that are like, oh boy, look at all this crap I can run around and do now. This is awesome. So it's really just it seems like with some of the shift in leadership, not, you know, that it they're trying to mix up the formula to make it feel fresh, because the game is 12 years old. Like it can fall into patterns of being predictable. And they mentioned that it had fallen into a pattern of feeling predictable and they wanted to change that. And based on this, it seems like they were serious. They are actually trying to make it feel different and engaging again, so that people are excited about stuff and don't just quote unquote know what's coming next.
Yeah, I feel like one of the concerns when they mentioned that earlier was, oh, well, they must be letting go of employees, and so they're going to dial back the amount of things that they're
adding. For sure, and I 100% kind of had that worry too.
Right.
Because Microsoft had kind of gone trigger happy with the whole firing thing. So
right, and the number of things that we've even gone over just in this episode and have not covered everything in depth is staggering. In fact, watching the reveal earlier this week, by the end of it, I was just, like I mentioned earlier, I was just like, there's so many things there. I can't remember them all.
Correct. And it's like, okay, well, let's just highlight what we can highlight so that, you know, we can give people a taste of it going forward, but not turn this into a Tales of Tamriel episode where 3.5 hours later, we're still going type of deal.
Right. So definitely check out Tales of Tamriel if you want an even more in-depth.
Yeah, this is not that format.
Yeah. But, Lotus, this has been super fun. We're going to take a quick break because we've got our patrons to thank, but we also have the random UESP page. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, it's time to catch up on our newest patrons. Welcome to Gus Will Get It Done, Victor K, Ven, Kenny K, and Ian T. Welcome to the Patreon, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast, if you'd like to help support the show, keep it going, but also get really cool stuff. Join us for patron chats, ad-free episodes, all sorts of things. And we have to shout out every week our Daedric Princes, Kirisi, Blinding Vision, Hersine, Peter R., Austin B., and Mintaka. Thank you for your continued support as well. Also, Lotus, we got a new review on Apple Podcasts. So if you
leave fun, one of the ones with words.
Yeah, with words. If you leave a 5-star review with words on Apple, we'll read it out. And you don't have to listen to the show on Apple. I know most of our listeners are on Spotify. You can leave a nice comment on there if you'd like. But also, if you leave a review on Apple, those get disseminated across the internet through, you know, the magic of Google or whatever. So a lot of people end up seeing them in places other than Apple. So they're very valuable. But this is from Elizabeth the Witch, who says, Tom and Lotus are awesome. I actually just recently discovered you guys existed. And as a longtime TES fan, I was ecstatic to see y'all are still producing content and have so many episodes. I'm about 40 episodes in after listening for a few weeks and can say this is my favorite podcast. I love the discussion-based style, the positive energy between Tom and Lotus. And as a philosophy major myself, I love Tom's incorporation of real-world myth, religion, philosophy, and how TES draws from that. Fantastic. Love y'all's podcast. Please keep it up. P.S. I'm a big believer in 2027 for TES 6. Am I smoking hopium, or do y'all agree? I think I'm on board for... I think it's going to be fall of next year, would be my guess.
I think you're all crazy, and I hope that I'm wrong.
Well, there you go. Thank you for taking the time to leave that review, Elizabeth the Witch. All right, time for our random page. And this is one that is interesting because I don't think I've ever gotten a Daedric Prince on the random page button. Ooh. It's specifically Malakath from Daggerfall on the random page. And
all
it's,
right, yeah, sure.
It's not the main Malakath page.
Not page. It's the specific Daggerfall Malakath page.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Malakath is a Daedric Prince. His summoning day is Frostfall 8th and associated artifact is Volendrung. And it just goes into more details here. And of course, you've got the, you know, the old timey pixelated animation of him pumping his green fist up in the air like that while holding a big long sword. And there's some concept art and all sorts of things. So
your scene in chat is very offended.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, Hersine, that guy. oh, man. So there you go. That's the random page for this week. Anything else going on, Lotus? Anything else to share before we wrap it up?
No. Again, if you're interested in, you know, this will might have a much longer format version, but I was actually, the reason I wasn't on last week's Patreon chat was I was actually at PAX East. PAX East was last week, so that's where I was.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I got to hang out with George from Zero Period Production, or who is Zero Period Productions. But a lot of fun. It was a bit crushing. There was zero Elder Scrolls at the event.
Yeah.
Not even the board game this year. Oh. There was literally nothing. However, as we've talked about on this show, and I'm going to go into it on Tales when we record this weekend, they had the expansion to Tainted Grail Fall of Avalon there.
Yes.
That has been brought up a couple times on the show. I got to play the new expansion there. The art style looked awesome. I got to chat with the developers who were there from Poland. Super cool. And now I can definitely say, after really kind of messing with it for a bit, if you're looking for an Elder Scrolls fix, you may want to try this game out. Just be aware, if you play it above like normal difficulty,
it's hard.
Man, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That combat requires a lot of attention from you. Normal was fine, but I cranked it up because I'm a sicko. and the devs were just kind of laughing because I was like, dude, the dude is beating the crap out of me through block. He's like, yeah, you got to parry, not block. I was like, this sucks. I was like, I'm getting killed.
The combat, the world, the abilities, the character stuff you can do. Yeah. You can sneak, you can use magic, you can use
magic. The new expansion's got a very seafaring, like Davy Jones locker vibe. Very, very cool.
Yeah, if you go to...
I recommend checking it out.
If you go to Elder Scrolls for that stuff, it does feel very similar to an Elder Scrolls game. If you go to it for like If you like the simulated towns and the people walking around,
yes.
There's not so much of that.
No, it did not seem like that. It's yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm like, it's sort of Elder Scrolls adjacent. It might help you get a little fix until we get another mainstream. Oh, also just quick mention. I know I've said it before. The Elder Scrolls Blades, the phone game, is shutting down. Yeah. So if you haven't tried it and you're interested in it, TikTok, it's closing down in June.
And they've unlocked a bunch of stuff that was like behind paywalls and things.
They
right?
give everything costs one gem, which is like the wacky money for real money, except that when you log in, it gives you a treasure chest full of gems. So you could just basically get everything for free.
So you could play for free and just kind of get through it all before they take it off the store.
You didn't need to spend anything to beat the campaign anyways. And I do suggest, I actually thought it was a lot of fun once it kind of ironed out a couple of the kinks at the start. I do suggest playing it before it is gone, because it's super fun and now there is even less of a barrier to entry.
Yeah, cool stuff. If you want to check out my other stuff, the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, or Retro Recall, those are podcasts you can listen to wherever you listen to this show. In Retro Recall, we just talked about Zelda 2. We didn't do Zelda 1 yet. We did Zelda 2. Nice. And turns out I think it's a better game than a lot of people give it credit for. It kind of gets the like redheaded stepchild of the series kind of thing. But
it's very different than the rest of the series. It is brutally difficult.
But it's not bad. Like
some of the puzzles are needlessly obtuse.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but there's...
But I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I beat it when I was on paternity leave.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I had never beat it or even played it that much. And I had it on a... what is it? One of those Game and Watch things. Mm-hmm. And I went through and beat it from beginning to end. And it's actually up there as one of my favorite Zeldas now.
It holds up. Like the combat can be fun. The hardest part about it is navigating the world and figuring out where to go next. And like following the little quest lines. But if you use a guide to just kind of solve that stuff more easily and focus more on the fun parts of it, it really holds up.
I had way more fun than I expected with it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool. I totally understand where you guys are coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. So John and I discussed that on the episode that came out last week. Last week we talked about Final Fantasy Tactics and John loves that game, but I had a kind of a different opinion about how slow it was to get into, but go check out Retro Recall. We cover a new game every week, our new retro game every week, and go back and see what it feels like 30 years later. So it's a lot of fun, but thank you everybody for hanging out. Chat, thank you for being here. T, thank you so much for the raid and welcome to everybody. This is something we do every Thursday night, so if you'd like to come for the live show as we record it on Thursday nights, this is where it is. But otherwise, Elder Scrolls Lorecast is available everywhere. Thanks everyone for being here. We'll be back next week, and until then, maybe give Elder Scrolls Online a try. See what you think about these things, and let us know. Jump in the Discord and let us know what you thought, because I'd love to get different people's feedbacks about the things that you think are most valuable that they're adding and how it is affecting your gameplay. That would be really cool to understand. But until next time.
Just open the tome and look at the sweet, sweet pages. They're just all crumbly. It's great.
The crumbly page. Just keep the tome up on your screen.
Just keep the tome up. Use it as a screensaver.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.